This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes Tim Stenovic from Bloomberg Radio.
So this next guest we talked to, I think it was around last August, and we know a lot has happened since then around the world. In some parts, we're seeing increasingly reopenings and more post-pandemic. We are doing so, though, with a cautious eye, watching that Delta variant, as we talked about earlier, with Dr. Ian Lustbader over at the NYU Langone Medical Center. Here with how all of this is impacting the air travel space, we're delighted to have back with us Janine Iannarelli. She's founder and president of Paravion. She represents international buyers and sellers of pre-owned business jets. She is back with us on the phone from Houston. Janine, nice to have you here. A lot has happened in the past year. How are you? And give us some perspective on the last 10, 11, 12 months for you.
Happy to join you again this afternoon. Wow, what a difference not even a year makes, but really the activity level ratcheted up, I would say, mid fourth quarter and has not let up. It was absolutely unprecedented and continues to be so.
Specifically what? And who's doing what?
Well, private individuals. I would say that the bulk of the buyers for business and private aircraft today are still individuals, entrepreneurs. The driver last year was really COVID. Mm-hmm. That was a motivation for an individual to create what we refer to as a health corridor. How do I get from point A to point B relatively safely, and how do I control my environment? Well, that's relatively easily done through private jet travel. That continued into the fourth quarter, but I would say the drivers became a little bit different towards the end of the fourth quarter. Some of that was change in administration. That's always something that a little bit rocks the aircraft sales marketplace. Mm-hmm. But after that, it became an appetite for travel. I mean, the impact comes from the decline in airline service,
right. The
cutting of routes, the cancellations that you're now seeing. I think people are thinking they made a wise bet when they bought their own airplane.
Will that continue, though, as the airline industry increasingly ramps up? I mean, we know some of the predicaments. We've heard it from some of the carriers, not enough pilots who need to get back into the simulator and get their hours back up. I mean, obviously, there's an adjustment in the supply chain of everything as the economy, which was shut down completely and is reopening. Do you anticipate that's going to have an impact on what you will see in terms of activity?
Oh, absolutely. And this is not a problem that is easily solved. I mean, just because demand is back, the airlines can't go simply flip a switch and put back online all the aircraft that they retired, or I should say placed into preservation at the height of the pandemic, and the number of crew members that they furloughed. This is going to be a multi-year requirement for them in order to return to pre-pandemic levels.
You talked about individuals and entrepreneurs buying. Is this U.S., international? Give me an idea of the demographics. Break it down as much as you can. Bloomberg, we love to know specifics.
So the bulk of the activity in the resale marketplace for business aircraft has always been North America, even more so today. I think at this particular moment, North America is accounting for about 75% of the global aircraft sales. Part of what we're seeing is a slow return to the market by those countries that are now opening back up. And the first ramp up you'll see is in for-hire. By that I mean those who are chartering aircraft or buying into the fractional share or club programs. It will take a global reopening before we see a real resurgence in aircraft sales activity outside of the continental United States. Mm-hmm. But for the moment, the appetite is extremely strong here, and demand is outstripping supply.
Okay. And that can also create dislocations for you. Do you anticipate a sales slowdown because there isn't the supply out there?
Good observation. It has become the concern of people in the trade today is that how good can this year be if, in fact, we can't get our hands on airplanes? Well, I think it's relative. It's sort of cyclical, even among aircraft brokers. You know, one particular quarter you're extraordinarily busy and then it's quiet. And I think the same will continue. Hard to say. New aircraft are a challenge to get your hands on. In fact, you're probably looking at several years out before you can take delivery, even if you place an order at this time. So really the focus is on the pre-owned aircraft marketplace.
All right, and pre-owned, this isn't like, you know, the used car, you kick the tires, you get a great deal. I mean, give us an idea of what's a typical pre-owned aircraft? What do you get? What's the maker? What does it cost?
Well, it depends on what one is after, but let's talk about something in the mid-size, super mid-size category, which I happen to be very well-versed in at the moment because I'm offering two for sale. Mm-hmm. So I have an aircraft that is 17 years old and another one that is at 22 years old. They are coast-to-coast capability. They're actually intercontinental capability, but it'll require a stop, for example, if you're going off the East Coast into Europe. They are state-of-the-art. They are mid-range on their inspection cycles. This is all important considerations because it points towards the actual cost of the aircraft.
Janine, hang on for a second because I want to talk a little bit more about it because I love the picture that you're painting. Still with us is Janine Iannarelli. She's founder and president of Par Aviam. Still with us on the phone from Houston. And forgive me, Janine, I interrupted you. You were talking about two planes that you've got for sale. One's, I think, 17 years old. One's 22 years old. Continue, because I think our audience wants to know, what are you selling?
Well, these aircraft fall into that mid-size category. They're mm-hmm. known as Falcon 50 EXs. And, you know, even though when you hear the words 17 years and 22 years, that's really not that old. We focus more on what is the overall total time and the overall care of the aircraft. And private jets, as you can imagine, are, let's say, babied a bit more than your commercial airliners. They just don't work as hard as a commercial airliner aircraft does. So consequently, we're not faced with some of the same maintenance issues on a very rapid reoccurring basis.
All that being said... Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to give you a price point today for those airplanes.
Sure.
It's going to fall between $4 and $4.5 million. And that certainly represents an appreciation from what those aircraft might have been worth fourth quarter of 2020.
So, you know, one of the things that we've talked a lot about, and you said that part of the reason maybe people are tapping into the private jet market a little bit more is also the slow recovery in the commercial airline space. And some of what's holding back commercial airlines is access to workers. How about in your world? Because you can buy a private plane, but if you don't have a great private pilot who can fly it or engineers to take care of it, it's not going to do you any good.
Very good point. I mean, the supply of qualified personnel is going to impact the aviation industry across the spectrum. I would say for the moment that while flight departments, established flight departments, are struggling and thinking about the next generation, they're well established enough at this point in time that they can manage the uplift they currently are responsible for. But the future is very, very uncertain. There are entities, some of the fractional shares, the club memberships, they're offering bonuses, signing bonuses. Mm. Charter operators are taking on pilots, junior pilots, let's call it, starting out with far fewer accumulated hours than they might have 5 years ago. But all of that is in an effort to feed the pipeline, to train them, to indoctrinate them into the industry, and to hopefully retain them. Because there is some jumping between the private aviation industry and the airline industry, back and forth. Some pilots would prefer a schedule, and when you fly the airlines, at least you have a set schedule. But private aircraft is more of a as-needed basis. I mean, that's the whole purpose of having that aircraft. It is, for some people, simply a luxury, but for others, it is an absolute business tool.
Janine, your company has been around for almost 25 years. You've seen this industry grow, change, different players come in and out. What observations can you make about it that you think might be of interest to our audience?
Well, for me, one of the most striking is the rise of individuals who buy aircraft as opposed to corporations, particularly since the economic meltdown. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is sort of a phenomenon that started way back 2009, 2010, and has continued. And really, the depth of that has been realized within the last couple years that it continues, where you have a lot of solopreneurs, you have heads of companies, whether they're private or publicly traded, that decide that this is a means of transportation they absolutely cannot live without. For me, that is the most significant change, which probably also points to the fact the sector of the market that we've yet to see, or I should say the type of buyer return to the marketplace, is the corporate buyer.
Hmm.
But they're coming.
But not yet.
Not yet. but they will. And I think
why do you say that? Because they don't have to anymore. And it's also those activist investors are very quick to say, do you really need a private jet when you can have a fractional ownership, or, you know, when you really need it? And actually, after the pandemic, we now know, yes, a CEO has to be around the globe if they're a global company, but they can also pop on things virtually. I wonder what impact that might have on future business travel, even for senior executives going forward.
Oh, I think you're going to see a return to in-person meeting. I think everyone is Zoomed out. You've probably heard that before. But it's more than that, especially if you're in a very personable selling business. You need that face-to-face. Deals are made across the table still. They're not necessarily made long distance. And it's not just the C-suite that's making use of an aircraft. I mean, it has been opened up to middle management, to key personnel, to customers in a way to efficiently and expeditiously move key personnel between various points. Case in point is a company, a consumer goods company I work with on the East Coast. Their route is multiple destinations within one day. I mean, these are true working horse airplanes that they use. They fill every single seat. They do more than one stop in the course of a day. It would be absolutely impossible to do it with scheduled airline service and cut the trip to several days as opposed to more than a week and probably half the destinations if they sent everyone out on the airlines. I mean, it's an absolute crucial tool for their continued survival and competitiveness.
All right. And most of the purchases, I got to ask you, is it mostly by men?
Predominantly so, yeah. But you know, when you're working with a corporation, it's a buying group, and the buying group is a collection of, the gatekeeper, the C-suite office, the legal, and, you know, then it's 50-50 men and women.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good to hear. Hey, listen, have a great holiday. Thanks for checking in with us, and nice to hear some optimism. Things definitely have progressed since we talked last August. Janine Iannarelli, she's founder and president of Paravion, joining us on the phone from Houston, Texas. So coming up at 5 p.m. Wall Street time is Sound On with Joe Matthew. And might you talk about the jobs report?